Winston Churchill once said of politics, "It's almost as exciting as war and quite as dangerous. In war," Churchill said, "you can only be killed once, but in politics, many times." Well, so many great political comeback fighters would know. Menzies, De Gaulle, Nixon, Howard, Abe in Japan, and of course, Churchill himself. They were written off, widely derided as yesterday's men, only to bounce back with tremendous force and win power again. Well, let's add Mahathir Mohamad to the list of great political comeback fighters. This week, against all the odds, Malaysia's Prime Minister from 1981 to 2003, this is Mahathir, he led the opposition coalition to defeat his former understudy and Malaysia's incumbent Prime Minister, Najib Razak. Now that means UMNO, that's the ruling coalition party since the 1950s, that's been toppled. And get this, Mahathir is 92 years of age, which means he's the world's oldest PM. This is all extraordinary, isn't it? Well, to hear more about this amazing election outcome in Malaysia, let's go to Kuala Lumpur. Bridget Welsh is an Associate Professor of Political Science at John Cabot University in Rome. Bridget, welcome to RN.
Great to be here.
First, your thoughts on this political earthquake in Malaysia.
It's a new day. 61 years the governing coalition has been in power, and today there is a new government. Most Malaysians can't believe it. They're still a bit in shock, but it is an indication that there was deep-seated alienation from Najib in terms of his governance on the economy and corruption, and that Mahathir served as a safe landing for many. We see that there's been at least a 10% swing in favor of the opposition to overcome many of the structural unevenness in the electoral playing field. We also see that many of the traditional UMNO and BN supporters stayed home, which accounts for some of the low voter turnout, while the opposition supporters came back home, many of them sending their postal ballots through extraordinary means from Australia and all around the world.
Fascinating. And I suppose Najib Razak, the spectre that haunted his election campaign was this 1MBD scandal since 2015, right?
Yes, this 1MDB scandal involved putting $700 million into his personal bank account and telling a whole set of stories that seemed just untenable and unbelievable to most people. And while this issue tended to be more understood in the urban areas and among Chinese voters, that sense of national pride being dented under Najib's government took force everywhere. And of course, it was galvanized by Mahathir. Malaysians understandably have great pride in their country. They said enough of the shaming of the country. And I think we're going to see steps taken to deal with some sort of reckoning in the areas of rule of law and the extensive debt that this scandal has caused, which involves at least $3.5 billion.
Well, whatever happened to the Najib Razak who came to power? I remember in 2009 he came to power as a reformer, a moderniser. In more recent years, he was courted by both Presidents Trump and President Obama. Whatever happened to that, Najib?
Well, I think Najib was a politician, and that was a public relations exercise. And since 2013, we've seen him to become increasingly autocratic, basically reversing extensive political reforms. And of course, while he continued his economic liberalization, the problem is that his economic growth and liberalization just wasn't connecting with ordinary voters. The goods and service tax that he introduced to increase revenue basically increased hardship for ordinary people. And the sense of growth that focused on infrastructure and bringing in investments from China was seen as selling out the land to foreigners, undermining national sovereignty.
My guest is Bridget Welsh. She's a leading expert on Malaysia, who's in Kuala Lumpur covering the massive election shock there this week. Let's turn to Mahathir, the new Malaysian leader at 92 years of age. That's right, 92 years of age. Now, not only did he come out of retirement to start a party of his own and form a coalition with the opposition, he teamed up with his former deputy, Anwar Ibrahim, whom he had jailed during his time as Prime Minister. That was in the late 1990s at the height of the Asian financial crisis. Bridget, did you ever think you'd see an alliance between former sworn enemies Mahathir and Anwar Ibrahim.
Well, as they say, politics makes strange bedfellows. And these are particularly strange given that many of the accusations involve the bed themselves, with Anwar being charged for sodomy and so forth. But in this regard, it was explained to the public that Mahathir and Anwar were working together and putting aside their past for what they called a Save Malaysia campaign. I think that both these men could put aside those differences really resonated among both sides. It took some time for many of the Reformasi supporters in the Anwar camp to accept Mahathir, but his repeated apologies and his ability and willingness to sacrifice himself on the campaign as he reaches the ripe old age of 93 in July actually touched the hearts of many Malaysians. Who enters and returns back to politics at that age, if not for a broader good? And he did it at great cost to himself, both in terms of the impact on his health, in terms of, you know, it's quite taxing to campaign in Malaysia. And also he put himself under constant barrage of people asking about his past. And he's put on the table some political reforms that would have contradicted what he practiced, but is actually seems genuine. And I think many people recognized those things for what it was, an attempt to correct past mistakes and to move the country towards a more constructive future. And in a sense, he was a bridge from the past to the future for the okay. country. And people joined that.
So this really was a selfless act to save Malaysia on Mahathir's part. But what direction will he now take? Because as you've said, you know, he was prime minister for more than two decades, from 1981 to 2003, a completely different caliber of political figure then. Will he govern as he has campaigned, that is, as a true reformer?
Well, I think I would be a little bit cautious to say it's completely selfless. I mean, I think he does gain, in a chance, in some ways, he gets a way to strengthen his legacy. You know, I mean, can you imagine, can you even imagine that this man who was criticized for weakening and damaging democratic institutions is now the savior of democracy in Malaysia and moving the country forward? I mean, and now how is he going to govern? I think there's talk of a national coalition of bringing his parties together to create a sense of a healing process, to try to create alliances from people in business and some of the allies he worked with at the same time to bring different political forces together in a more cooperative way. Is he a political reformer? There are a lot of promises on the table. I would point out that the focus and the thing that brought most of the opposition parties together was this anti-Najib dimension. The problems of political reform in Malaysia extend beyond Najib, and I think it will involve some systemic issues that I think will create some tensions within the opposition and Harapan as they move forward.
And that brings me to the darling of the reform movement in the 1990s, and that is Anwar Ibrahim, Mahathir's running mate. Now, how much did he actually feature in the campaign, given that he's currently in jail? And also, what are the arrangements for a transfer of power between Mahathir and Anwar?
Well, it's interesting that when Mahathir gave his speech on the night right before polling day, in the backdrop was a picture of Anwar.
Whom he jailed, by the way.
Whom he jailed. But who also Najib jailed and who is currently in jail and will be out only in June. And I think that these things serve to reinforce the sense that Najib puts away his critics. And the campaign was full of attacks, even on, you know, accusing Mahathir of fake news. So a lot of these maneuvers backfired. Now, what is it going to mean? Well, I think, you know, there are going to be understandable differences between the two men on the nature of political reform. And, of course, there are two tigers on a hill. hill, both of which you want to be on top of the hill. It will take at least a few years, or at least a year, to get a pardon for Anwar, and that's going to involve cooperation with the king. And it also is going to be, there's going to be interest within the different parties that will want to leverage as things move forward. Mahathir has said on record that he will stay 2 to 3 years. Given his age, I think he understands that. I think, unlike Anwar, Mahathir is able to wield a lot of bridging power within the system, which is necessary to bring about some of those reforms in more fundamental ways. And I think this is the test will be whether or not Mahathir uses this advantage, his capacity to bridge different factions and bring them together. He has a tremendous mandate on behalf of the people.
Bridget, we are out of time, but we really do appreciate you speaking with us today on this massive political earthquake in Malaysia. Thanks so much.
Most welcome.
That was Bridget Walsh. She's an associate professor of political science at John Cabot University in Rome. She was speaking with us from Malaysia.